life is full of experiences and mistakes and you name it, there's things that get thrown at you. And taking this job here at Willow Avenue, I've got to really see that firsthand experience by a lot of different experiences. And one of those things was when the kids wanted to go on a snowboard or ski trip. I had never been before. And so I said, okay, you know, I'll organize one and we'll get it together and we'll go. And so I remember in this particular experience, the first time I had ever went snowboarding or skiing, we get there and I'm going through the process of trying to figure out like what kind of board am I supposed to get, what size, you know, shoe or boot or whatever it is you're supposed to put on. And so I was going to ski because I was told it was easier, but they were like, no, you're snowboarding. And I said, okay, snowboarding it is. And so I finally go through the process of getting my feet strapped in, and I remember that there was one of the teens in particular who decided to stay behind and help me out, and thank you for that. And the way I didn't realize that you'd be able to move is you keep one foot unstrapped, and then you kind of just step and kind of slide through the snow. And so I finally get out there, and I was trying to make my way to the ski lift, and of course he was on ahead, and I couldn't keep up with him, so he was patient and waited on me. And I finally get on the ski lift, and I sit down, and I'm thinking, whew, this is getting rough. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, well, this is nice, kind of enjoying the view and kind of just going up the ski lift nice and slow. And little did I know that in order to get off the ski lift, you pretty much had to jump off the seat and go right onto the ramp and go on to the next thing. And well, I get there, and I was in such shock that when I went to drop, I just went ahead and counted my losses. I went ahead and jumped off, and I just went ahead and hit the ground. Just hit the ground and went straight down the ramp. Didn't even try to stay on my feet. And so I get up, and I finally start making my way, and I get to the middle of the slope where you're supposed to get up and start. And granted, it was like the easy one. And I get strapped in, and I finally stand up. And I'm like, okay, I got this. The team that was with me, I guess, got tired of waiting because he went on. And so I was by myself. Never done this before. And I remember I jumped to start, and I was looking this way, and I started going this way. And I was like, this is not right. And so I found a way to stop myself. Of course, I fell. So I get up, and I was like, all right. So I jumped. I guess I thought that the more that I thought I was going this way, that the more the board would go that way. But no, I just continued to go sideways. And I noticed that as I was going sideways, that I was getting closer and closer to this pit of mud, where there was no snow anymore because it was kind of warmer and the snow was starting to melt. And I was like, okay, one or two more accidents of these, I'm just not going to make it. Sure enough, after the second or so time after that, I went right into the mud. And if you've ever gotten a snowboard stuck in mud, you're not going anywhere. And so I'm thinking, okay, my foot's stuck, so what am I going to do to get out of this? I didn't want to interfere with the mud, so I did the only thing I thought that I could do to get out of the situation. I literally got on my hands and knees and started rolling back and forth until I got to the middle of the slope. I didn't know what else to do. And so I get up, and I get stood up, and I was like, I think I've got it figured out this time. And so I go. And I'm going head on straight down the slope, and then I'm thinking about 5 seconds into it, I'm going way too fast. And I'm like, I have no idea how to stop. And so the only thing I could think to do was I just decided to slowly try to go down, but it turned into one of those like snowball effects where you hit the ground and you just keep going. And it was quite an experience. Thankfully, Brandon Johnson was on this trip with us, and he is a phenomenal snowboarder. And so I finally catch up to Brandon. Brandon's like, how's it going? I'm like, yeah, it's going. And so he's like, here, let me show you. So he kind of starts showing me the basics a little bit. And lo and behold, that night I was able to go up to the top and come down without falling. I was like, hey, this is exciting. I'm catching on to this. This is fun. I'm loving it. You know, we leave that snowboarding trip, and I'm just all about, hey, we've got to go back. This is just great. And so we go back next year. And we're kind of there, and we're doing our thing. And I was still able to go from top to bottom without falling. But I couldn't quite do a lot of the stuff that all these other people were doing. And I noticed that after a few runs for me, I was finding myself starting to get a little bored. And it was almost like I was getting complacent where I was at. And I would look out, and I could see that everybody was getting a full experience of this ski and snowboarding trip. And I just wasn't getting as much out of it as them. And the reason why is because I just kind of stopped trying. And I was getting so content with where I was at that I wasn't willing to go out there to keep getting the experience. And I was thinking about this particular experience, and I was trying to say to myself, how often have I done that same exact thing with God? So many times people become Christians and they get so excited that they're a Christian. And they're ready to try all this stuff and ready to do all these things. But something happens along the way and we get content with where we're at. We start to get complacent with where we're at. We don't try as hard anymore. And because of those things, we're slowly but surely missing out on the full experience that God has to offer to us in this life. Do you have a hard heart? That's the question I want to ask you tonight is, do you have a hard heart when it comes to you and God? As you're thinking about that, I just want to go back to the basics with you. The basics of creation. Can we just stop our busy minds for just a moment and just think about what creation is and what it should mean to us? Okay? You can name off the trees. You can name off the grass. I mean, things are starting to turn green and bloom again, and it's kind of exciting to see all this stuff again, and things are warming up. Just the way things look. I mean, it's almost that time of year where the sunsets are going to start happening, and everybody's like, oh, let me get my Insta out so I can post it. Here's the picture. Here's the Bible verse. Hashtag God is good. Hashtag no filter. You know, it's about time for that stuff to start coming around again. But just think about creation. And you want to know what the most powerful thing about creation to me is that it happened when God spoke it. The fact that God just used His words to say it, and there was creation. Now, some perspective on that is this. And I may have a contractor come up to me after this is over to correct me, but let's just say that if a contractor was going to build a typical 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house, nothing crazy, nothing extravagant, it might take, give or take, a few months, 6 months, depending on the weather and how things are going. But even then, the contractor still got to get all the supplies. They've got to be able to follow the plans. They've got to be able to get the right people to come in and do the things that they're specified in to work in. And yet, even after all that, it takes, give or take, 6 months, depending on the house, depending on the weather. And yet, God, by just using His mouth, created the entire world in 6 days. 6 days. God made creation, and we were able to be a part of it. And He set a standard for us to live. And aren't you thankful that He was able to do that? Because if God didn't set a standard for us, then what would our standard be? I was reading a book. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. And at this particular point in the book, they got to this topic of about morals, about if they exist or what, you know, what's the deal with morals. So this professor decided that he wanted to give out an assignment, the paper that his students had to write. And this particular student was an atheist, and he decided to dedicate his whole entire paper about how morality is just relative. I mean, it's all about your opinion and how you feel and whatnot. And so he dedicated his whole entire paper to writing on this particular subject. And so he turns it in, and the professor reads it. And here's what the professor does. The professor opens up the folder, and he writes F. And the way he turned in the paper was he put it in a blue folder, and the professor put F. I do not like blue folders. And that's how he gave it back to the student. You can imagine the student was completely upset about this, and so the student decides to come up to the professor and says, what's going on here? This isn't right. This isn't fair. You can't do that. The professor looked at him and said, based off what I just read in from your paper, it doesn't matter what's right or what's fair to you. I can do whatever I want. Therefore, I'm giving you an F because I don't like blue folders. And in a matter of a 10-second conversation, he just completely destroyed the hours of work that that student put into that paper. So aren't you glad that when God made this creation, He set a standard for us? Because honestly, if I wanted to, tonight we're having pizza for dinner. If I go in there and I say, I'm just not really feeling pizza tonight. I think I want to go somewhere and get a really nice steak. I guess if I wanted to, I could come up and just start forcing people to give me their money until I had enough money to go get me a steak. And you know what? Hey, I got what I wanted. Doesn't matter, right? But we all know that based off the morals that God set for us, the standard that God gave us, there's just something that's not right about that. We can't just pick and choose whatever we want to do. So I'm going to go back to this passage that JP shared with us earlier tonight in Romans chapter 1. See, since this perfect creation, there was a problem. Starting in verse 20, it says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile, and their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like incorruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Even though creation was made, and we got to be a part of that experience, and even though there was a standard that was set, people took that standard and changed it. Now, I did some research. I wanted to know what is the average batting average for a Major League Baseball player? If you were to take every Major League Baseball player and you were to take what is the average batting average to be considered the average baseball player, batter in the league, what would it be? So I looked it up. The average all-time batting average is between a 260 and a 275. So in other words, for every 100 times a Major League Baseball player gets up to bat, they're only going to succeed 26 to 28 times, which is kind of crazy if you think about it. Now, let's say that it's someone's rookie year, their first year in the league, and they go through and they get done and they say, "All right, I'm hitting a 275. I made the average." But here's the question. Would average get you to the All-Star game? Would average get you to the Hall of Fame one day? See, why in the world would you settle for average when you have the opportunity to be so much better than that? Now, I'm going to continue reading, and I want you guys to pay attention to the list that God is going to bring up here. "For this reason, in verse 26, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting." And check out this list that God's about to present. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning and untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." So, let's just take the little baseball example. All right, so I put God at the top of this screen because I want you to realize that if we're talking about a standard that God set, he deserves to be at the top because it's perfect. There's nothing that can come close to that. There's nothing that you can compare when it comes to God and his standard. And so when you look at that list that he presented to us in his word, I put it down towards the bottom because what people have decided to do does not even come close to the standard that God has set. And so then I was looking at this list and I decided, well, let's break this list down even more because there's so much general things in there that let's just take a look and see what some more details are. And so I tried to imagine what it was like walking through the halls in high school. And I tried to think about what I would encounter as I'm going to a job in a worldly position. I mean, I work here at the church now, but I had some worldly jobs before I started working here at the church. And so I'm looking at these things, and I'm thinking, something just doesn't add up here, okay? If God created something so perfect, then why are there two different standards? And so here's the thing. If there are things on this list that you tend to do or that you struggle with, then you've qualified yourself to be just like the average person in this world, and you have fallen into the world standard. When you could be here with God, you've chosen to be here. That's the standard that the world has set. And sometimes I ask myself, what's the trick to this? Why are people's hearts hardening so much that they would change the standard that God has set? Why is it getting to this level? And here's why. The reason why we have a different standard today in this world is because God's Word is not good enough. God's Word is just not good enough. Think about this. We talked about how powerful His words were whenever He created the world. Let there be light. Boom, there was light. That's power, right? And we can all agree in this room right now that as powerful as that is, why does that power seem to fade when God uses the same mouth to tell us not to do those things on that board right there? And yet we continue to fall in those things. Do we think that His power is any less by reading a list than it is the fact that He said, let there be light, boom? It's the same God then, the same God now, and the same God forever. What God says now is just as powerful as what He did on creation. The words that come out of His mouth, the power didn't change. People changed because they started hardening their hearts. Because they wanted to do what they wanted to do, not do what God wanted to do. Just look at the example of Pharaoh. God tried to use Moses to tell Pharaoh, hey, here's what's going to happen. Pharaoh said, no, I don't want to do that. There were people who came up to Pharaoh, Egyptians, that said, Pharaoh, this is clearly the finger of God. We should probably start listening. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. Pharaoh said, no, I don't think so. So then God said, all right, here, I'm going to let the Israelites not be inflicted by some of these plagues, and you guys are going to be inflicted by some of these plagues. And yet Pharaoh still said, no. God even warned Pharaoh, this tragedy is about to happen to you if you don't listen to me. And he said no. Pharaoh cared enough to hear what was said, but he didn't care enough to listen to what was said because Pharaoh was going to do what Pharaoh wanted to do regardless of what God had to say. And any time we ever fall into that category of we're going to do whatever we want to do, regardless of what God says or how powerful He really is, the words that come out of His mouth, then we're no better than Pharaoh or the rest of the world that has set that standard for us to live in. Hard hearts happen because God's Word is just not powerful enough anymore. God's Word just isn't good enough anymore. Later, Pharaoh even tried to negotiate with God. Who does that? Somebody that just doesn't want to listen or submit to God. Just like in the baseball example, why would we settle for average when we could have something so much better? Now, if you were to walk out of this auditorium tonight and you go through those main doors and you go into the parking lot and I said, I want you to take a slight left and then go in that direction, here's what you would see. Isn't that beautiful? It's pretty, isn't it? And you know what? It's even nicer on the inside. Can't get enough of that, can you? Now, if I told you to go out there and look at it, I don't know how excited you would be. Now, then if I gave you another option and I said, hey, go check this out. And that's beautiful, isn't it? That's beautiful. That's breathtaking. And then as I said, hey, which one would you rather look at? Which one are you going to pick? See, why in the world would we ever settle for dumpster diving when we have something that's so much better? Something that God has planned from the very beginning of time for all of us. It just doesn't make any sense. And trying to figure out where your heart is tonight, I got some questions I want to ask you. And I want you to think about these to yourself. Do you really, really, truly love God? Or are you realizing you thought you loved God, but turned out you love His blessings? Think about something that puts you in awe or amazement. Do you do the same thing with God? Is God boring to you? Are you only willing to make changes if it affects your salvation? Would your life be any different if you didn't believe in God? I was thinking, when I was trying to figure out my thoughts for tonight, I was thinking a whole lot about Matthew chapter 25, which is the infamous sheep versus goats chapter. And as I really look at that passage, I feel like there is an underlying teaching in that passage that means more to me than anything else I've ever really looked at into that passage. You know, the passage says, you fed me or you didn't feed me. You gave me clothes or you didn't give me clothes. You visited me in jail or you didn't visit me in jail, and so on. It's that passage. And the people are like, "Why? I didn't see you, Jesus." I don't think, first off, let's just forget there's even a list. You know, I think sometimes we look at it and it's easy to say, well, here's a list of things that Jesus expects of us. And yeah, that's a good thing to go by, but let's just forget there's even a list. Because I don't think that it was the fact that the people, the sheep, I don't think it was the fact that they got to go to heaven because they necessarily did those things. I think what got those people into heaven is that whenever they stood before God, He could tell they didn't have a hard heart. And the fact they didn't have a hard heart compelled them to do the things that Jesus mentioned in that passage. Likewise, I don't think that it was the fact that these people didn't do those things that condemned them. But when they stood before God, He could see a hard heart. Because the bottom line is this, when we stand before God, He's going to look right into our hearts. Every single aspect of our hearts. And what it boils down to is how much of the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ actually dwells in that heart and is compelling you to live the standard that God has set for us. To be someone so different, to be someone that's supposed to be living their life in nothing but gratitude for the fact of what Jesus Christ did for us on that cross. When I look at Matthew 25, I don't like to look at the list. I don't like to sit there and try to think about, you know, the dynamics of it. I just like to look at the fact that what saved or not saved these people was whenever Jesus looked at their heart. And that's the whole issue of everything, is our hearts. And hard hearts just aren't going to make it. We all know the Pharisees had their fair share of mistakes. We can read the stories, we can read the passages. But here's the thing about the Pharisees. I'm sure that there were moments when they looked good, when they needed to look good. And I'm sure there are moments that the Pharisees, they read the Scripture like they needed to read the Scripture. And they sang the right songs when they needed to sing the right songs and worshiped whenever they were supposed to worship. They had their fair share of mistakes, but I'm sure they still did the things that they should do. But at the same time, Jesus said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. See, we too can look good when we need to look good. And we can worship the way we're supposed to worship, like we worship tonight, like we're supposed to. And we can sing the right songs like we're supposed to. We can come up with a whole list of things that we're supposed to do. But are our hearts really in it? Knowing and experiencing God doesn't protect you from having a hard heart. When I was a little boy, I just loved to play baseball. And I loved it so much that I would go outside and play by myself. And I'll never forget that my mom told me the first time she signed me up to play in some little city league baseball thing. And oh, I was so excited. So excited. And then I remember it progressed into T-ball, and then you kind of just went on from there. But I'll never forget on this particular morning, and even how I tend to feel in a lot of ways for these particular moments, is that I remember my mom was taking me to school one morning when I was in T-ball. And I remember asking her, "Do I have a game tonight?" She said, "You sure do." And I got so excited. Oh, I couldn't wait. And I said, "Is it supposed to rain?" And she said, "I don't think so." And I was like, "Oh, that's great." I was so excited. It just made my day knowing that when I got done with school, I got to go to the ball fields and I got to play baseball. And, you know, even today, if I'm playing in a slow pitch softball league, you might find me checking the weather every 30 minutes because I want to know if it's going to rain or not, because I'm excited to play. I just enjoy doing that. You know, a little over a month ago, we had a lot of snow, didn't we? And I remember when that snow came in, it ended up happening around a Tuesday and Wednesday, and, you know, throughout the morning, you started hearing about all the church services that got canceled. for Wednesday night service. How did you feel or react when you got the news? Does it excite you to be here? Or whenever you got the news, did you think to yourself, I get a night to relax tonight? Well, don't have to go to church tonight. But see, I think that's a good test of where our hearts can be sometimes with God. And the thing is when I showed up to the ball field, I got on that field and I gave it everything I had. I was running down the ball no matter where it went. I would hit the ball and I would run as hard as I could around those bases. And yet, when I come here, am I giving God everything I have? Do I sing with all my heart? When I sing those words, do I mean it? When I'm reading this word, do I mean it? Do I take the words and I really put them in my heart so that when I leave here, I can be a better person spiritually? Or do I just let it kind of leave behind me as I walk out the doors? Because there's a big difference. There's a big difference. Do you have a hard heart? Do you know how a mosaic works? I'm not an artsy guy, and I do not really do anything with art, but it's interesting to me how mosaics work. Basically, you take a big sheet of glass, and you cut it up or you break it up into smaller pieces. And then once you take these smaller pieces and you got them broken up, you take them, and then you can form them into this image that you want to create. If you've examined your heart tonight and noticed any sign of hardness in there at all whatsoever, I ask that you let God come in, take those hard pieces, and shatter them to pieces. And after He takes those hard pieces, I want you to let Him take those pieces and form them into this perfect, beautiful image for your heart. And see, that image that God would create is going to be the image that God had from the very beginning when He created you, and to give you the best potential that you possibly have as part of His creation. The invitation is always open. And I don't know where you're at spiritually. That's something between you and God. All I know is that as I was putting together these thoughts, it was easy for me to portray this because I can look into myself and say, why am I struggling? Why do I feel that way? After what God has done for me, after what Jesus did for me, there shouldn't be any hardness there at all whatsoever. And I pray every day that if it's there, that God helps me remove it. And so tonight, maybe you're not a Christian, or maybe you need prayers of the church. Whatever it is that you need tonight, I pray that as you leave tonight, that if there's any hardness in your heart at all, that you get rid of it before you walk out of these doors tonight. Would you please stand while we sing?